Okay, we're in the third mission already of the Sachta Makis, moving along. Obviously, the connection to the previous mishnah is pretty obvious in terms of the dilemma that's laid out here. We're trying to understand what the Chiyuv Kasha Zaman will be in different situations, which are not as clear-cut as far as determining what exactly is the Chiyuv Mamon of the Eidim. What's the case that the mishnah gives us? Me'idamanu b'ishploni shulchai v'chaveru elef zuz. Amenas litnan lo mikan vat shloshim yom. The Edom testify that somebody owes money that's due in 30 days. The hu omer mikan vat eser shanim. The person admits that he owes the money, but as far as he's concerned, he doesn't owe until 10 years. Why don't you look at the shtar and see what it says? Could be it's not a shtar, it's a milvah peh, but that doesn't seem to work in the Gemara. We'll see the Gemara is going to talk about a case of Moses Shtaros of Lebezdin, that the case has to do with Shtaros, so it could be the Gemara's Ika Teretz is not that Teretz, we'll see. Or the shtar, for whatever reason, didn't exactly say what it's supposed to say, it wasn't clear. The Meir talks about this point. Whatever it is, it's not clear when the person has to pay. That's the dispute over here. And obviously the case is that they were found zomin. That's not even stated. That's obvious. The Lashon of Mishnah is interesting. The Lashon is mikan v'ad shloshim yom. That's what the Edom say. Mikan v'ad eser shanim. The Lashon would suggest that when a person owes, it's not pshat, he doesn't owe until that point. The zman piron already is, you could say, there is a certain sense of he can pay now until then. He doesn't have to pay now. He has until then. When you get a bill, let's say from a mortgage or whatever else, you know, so they'll give you a due date, but then, I don't know, then they'll say, I don't know exactly what they'll say, but basically you know you have until a certain date that it's due. That means it's not due until that date, or it's due, but you don't have to pay. The Lashon is interesting. We'll see more in the Ramban. Maybe it's interesting how the Ramban takes this issue. But the Lashon of Mishnah is striking. The Lashon of Gemara in Bava Basra, about a person who pays, if a person would pay before the due date, the Lashon of Gemara is, if a person is knowing to pay toch zmano, avid adam de parak toch zmano, is a person likely to pay toch zmano or not? It doesn't say lefnei zmano. There was toch zmano means there's a window of time. Toch zmano. It's not the day of the due date, but it's toch zmano. The date, the window of time starts right now. Even though obviously he's not going to give it back the second he gets the money. But l'maisa, it's mikan ve'ad. That's what the Lashon of Mishnah is. But what's the difficulty here? How do you assess the hazama, the payment of hazama here, the kasha zama? Because it's not as if the Edom and Mechayev something that according to him, he doesn't owe at all. He also acknowledges that he owes the Elef Zuz, just that he says he owes it ad eser shanim. So he'll pay in 10 years. They want him to pay in 30 days. So exactly what would be the chiyuv of the Edom when they're found to be Zomimin? And it turns out that, again, their Edus had to do with that they understood that the chov was for Shloshim Yom, and they were found Zomimin, that they could have testified to that. So now we know that they're lying. What would be their chiyuv? Says the Mishnah. Omdim, we have to do an assessment. Kama adam rotze litein. V'yu biyadav. V'yu biyadav. Elef zuz. Bein nosnan mikan vad lamed yom. Bein nosnan mikan vad eser shanim. So we have to figure out a formula of what a person, the Lashon of Mishnah, what a person would pay that he would have this money between whether it he has to surrender it in 30 days as opposed to having to surrender it in 10 years. So there's a certain monetary value that you would assess to that. Exactly, that's the amount of money, apparently, that the Edom have to pay. Why? The Mishnah doesn't exactly explain why that should be. They have to pay for what their intention, what they wanted him to lose. What did they want him to lose? They want him to lose Elef Zuz in 30 days, as opposed to losing it, surrendering it in 10 years. The Mishnah says what they have to pay is not Elef Zuz, because he'd have to pay that regardless, he himself agrees. But they have to pay What does it sound like? The difference between somebody, what a person would pay, that he would have this money for 30 days as opposed to 10 years. To have the extra, right, 9 years and 11 months with this money, that has value. That value is what the Edom would have to pay. So how do we understand this? So look at the Rishonim. Let's start with the Ramban and the Ritva. It's interesting. Let's go right into the Ramban, maybe. Start with the Ramban. Ika de Kashale. So the Ramban brings a question, and from the way that they're asking the question, you understand how they viewed the situation like this. What exactly is the nature of the loss that the Edom are causing this person by saying he owes it in 30 days, the Elef Zuz? Ika de Kashale. Kevan de Hai Gavra. Mechayev lechavrei hanu el alfa zuzi de misadi. Hani may avdile. What's the question? They're saying this person owes the money. No doubt about it. He owes the money. Even for his own, by his own admission, he owes the money. So what exactly have the Edim done to him? Ravcha de Ravach mikan vadesa shanim amay mishalmi. Why would they have to pay the revach, the profit, the increase from now until 10 years? Now, what are they understanding the Mishnah? How are they understanding the Mishnah? What is the loss? The loss is that, you could say really in two ways. Let's think about it. That value that the money has for him by remaining in his possession till 10 years, they've taken that away from him. There's a certain monetary stake that exists for a person to have the money, hamtonas hamos, we call that, having the money remaining in his possession. That's what we call ribbis often, right? That's what ribbis comes down to. It's paying for hamtonas hamos, right? You have the money for a certain amount of time, then you pay me extra. That's what interest is. That value, that's what they're paying, because they took that away from him. That's one way to think about this revach. Now, if you want to be even more creative, you could say it's more than that. He'd have this money. What could he do with this money? He could invest it. And you can imagine how much would it bring in with the proceeds of the investment. So all that should be on the head of the Edom. The Edom have caused him to lose all of that. They've lost. He'd taken away the value of what it is to have the money, and plus what the money could bring in. Yes?
Why couldn't he have invested in the first 30 days?
Yes, he could, but there's a lot more that could come out of the proceeds of that investment if he had 10 years. No doubt, of course. We're talking about the difference. The 30 days are 30 days, but now there's an extra 9 years and 11 months that he would have had the investment yielding whatever, in whatever way, you know. Yes? Tell me, yeah.
The investment can go one of two ways, though. Meaning, when we invest money,
it can lose.
Yeah,
okay, so there's always different things. There's safer investments, right? There are things that, are, you know, again, we're not talking about risky ones. There's things that could be, you're right. So how do you know that he's going to win? So you have to try to imagine that there could be something that would be more guaranteed, I guess. So he's saying, the Ramban doesn't make clear what he means in the question of Ravcha. The Ritva, when again, we're going to track the Ramban and the Ritva, because I think ultimately they're saying the same thing. When they come around and say Pshat in the Mishnah, not the way that you would have thought. So the Ritva seems to look at it from the perspective of what all that gain that could come from investing. And again, he challenges that from the Lashon HaMishnah itself. Now, between these two possibilities that I just mentioned, which doesn't fit as well in the Mishnah? We're talking about the monetary value of having the money. Or we're talking about the gain that would come from investing the money. What does the Mishnah's words seem to say? What?
The first way,
the monetary value of having the money, the extra amount of time, right? But to talk about the what would come, the result of that investment, that's not what the words are saying. And that's where the Ritva is coming at, The Ramban doesn't bother asking that part of the question. Maybe he never thought that that was part of the equation. But the Ritva, when the Ritva brings this issue in, so he's going to ask a lot of the same kashas, but he also asks from the Lashon HaMishnah. Ein lefarish, the way begin for the Ritva for a second. Ein lefarish yishalmu lo masha omdin shahaya ze yachol arviach be'elav zuz ad eser shanim. So when the Ritva begins to rebut some other pshat, he says, don't say that it means that they have to pay what we assess he would have. Again, you're right. How do you know exactly how it would be, and how do you know he'd do it? But you get, to the extent that you can, do some kind of assessment about how much the elves would have profited for him. So he says, that can't be. Chadash ein zeh mashmaus lashon zeh. First question is, the Mishnah doesn't seem to say that. The Ode, he says, the Hamidi Dilo Kitsu, She'en Bo Hazama, K'mashi Yisavnu Mala. The Ritva keeps repeating that Yisod that we've seen a couple of times. We saw it by, when did we first see it? By the Matnas Kahuna issue, right? We referred to it yesterday. That if it's not something you can actually know how much it is, at the time that you want to punish them with Kashi Zama, you have to know how much you're fining them, how much you're making them pay. So that's another reason why it can't be that that's what the Ode says, Shezeg Rama bin Nezik, and here we're going to get closer to where the Ramban is coming from when he asked the Kasha, but he goes a little more in the Ritva. He says, it's Grama bin Nezik, the Almahu, it's only a very indirect type of a loss. In other words, what they caused him is that he wouldn't get that profit. Shepata b'milid in Ezekin b'alma. That's a general tour by Ezekin. And he quotes Yerushalmi, which the Ramban did quote, we'll soon come to that. And he quotes, you know, more as well. But the Ritva is saying that it's that can't be because it's a grama. And then he continues and says, what is the pshat? And we'll see that together with the Ramban. Now let's come back to the Ramban. The Ramban is going to get more to the lumdus of why it can't be that there's something wrong with this whole premise. Yeah.
Couldn't you mean the Ritva takes an account when you guys are asking how do you know it's going to get and go up, go down? By ain't no kids.
No, he doesn't think he means that, because in the case of Matnas Kahuna, it's only profit, and it's just you don't know how much it's going to be. And he's referring to that when he says over here, low kid. So I don't think that he means, because it might not even be profit at all, is you don't really know. So even if you can assume that it's going to gain, you don't know how much. But I think he probably means the same thing he meant earlier. Okay, so I don't think that the Ramban's beginning has to do with that possibility, maybe because he was clear to him that the words don't say that. So that was not part of the possibility of the Mishnah. But what could have been is that they have to pay how much, what is the monetary loss? The monetary loss is that he doesn't have the money for this extra time, and that has a monetary figure to it. In other words, Hamtonas Hamos can be viewed as money itself. Having the money there for the extra time, with all the possibilities that come with it, that gufa is considered mammon. And that mammon, the edim, with their testimony, are depriving him of that money. And this is now the kasha that the Ramban is bringing, iket de kasha le. Notice how they begin the question. Since, after all, this person is chayiv elavzuz. So therefore, hani mayavdi le. So now they come and say, so how can you say the edim caused him any loss here? And that, in the Hazama, that there was something here, that there was a Zamam on a loss. Ravcha de Ravach mikan ved eser shanim, ma mishalmi? Again, it could mean one of two things. The profit that could come, or the fact that there is a monetary value to this difference of having it 30 days or having 10 years. Why should they have to pay that? Lo yehe ella de kogazli mine alfazuze ubatrua velo ravach behu mishanwi klum. Hakaimelon de kogazlon and misham and kishasakzela. What happens if a person steals money and he has to pay, of course, according to whatever the amount of money that he stole? But wait a second, all this time that he had the money, he's depriving the person of having that money. And again, add in, he could have taken that money and invested it in whatever. And all this is because of the gazlin. that this person has been prevented from earning money and having the money. Here it sounds like he's discussing the earning power as well. And this he compares to a comment in the Yerushalmi. This is specifically about earning. Kedamina b'Yerushalmi b'perkei zeh neshech. The Yerushalmi says the following expression of important concept. Hamvato kiso shochavero pato. What does it mean? Hamvato kiso shochavero. Reuven gives Shimon money to invest. And we'll go half-half in the profits, okay? What happens? Shimon doesn't do anything with it. Comes a year later, he was expected to follow Reuven's instructions and invest. Gives back the same thing that was given to him without having done a thing. So is he a mazik? In a certain way, he is. He caused the person, he took the person's money and he didn't follow through on the instructions, and that money could have yielded whatever, dividends. So that's called mevato kiso shachaver. You were goreim that the person lost money. But what does the Yerushalmi say? Are you a mazik, halachically? And do you have to pay? Can you expect payment from me for what I caused you, the loss? No. Why? It's like a grumma. That's not a mazik. Even though, in certain respects, I'm causing you a loss. I am. By my not investing it as per what you told me, I prevented you from earning all that could have come from that money that you gave me. So, yet, that's the rule. So the Ramban is bringing the kasha here as well. How could you say, since in fact, the person owes the money, so all the Adam did was prevented the person from having the money for a longer period of time, and that, why is that a value? That is a value because having the money for all that time could have brought you all kinds of potential to earn whatever. That's why having the money is itself a monetary value. And yet we know, hamvato kiso shechaveiro pater. Even if the mamish would have caused a hezek, here it's only a virtual hezek, right? It's kasha zamam. It's kasha zamam is viewed as if, right? That's the hezek that they caused that person based on a psat din. Good, but if you do that very thing, you're not chayiv. And that's why he brings a gazlin. Same thing. A gazlin doesn't have to pay for the fact that the person didn't have all that could have come from having those assets by him. You have to know if gazlin is a good example to ask a kasha. You have to know gazlin is unique. Gazlin has kinyanik zela. You have to know if that was a good kasha from gazlin. Why did Rishon brought in gazlin? I'm wondering. Gazlanim. Why doesn't the gazlan have to pay for the hana that he got from having the chayfetz? Usually if I'm nene from somebody's money, I have to pay for the ishtamshus. Gazlan doesn't have to pay ishtamshus. Why? Because it's kinyanik zela. That's what comes together with the gazlan. So maybe that's why also he doesn't have to pay for the other hafsedim. But the Rabban and the Ritva both bring that in as well. And the Yerushalmi certainly makes the case that nevato kiso shechavero pat. So therefore, that's the question that was asked, the Ramban quotes. Since, after all, the person is chayiv, elav zuz, so what is the basis to mechayiv the edim for the difference between having the money now and then, which again could mean just the actual value of having the money, or it could mean all that could come, the proceeds that could come and the result from having that money. But all that is nothing better than mevato kiso shel chaver. Yeah.
Everyone has told me before that the Ramban was maybe explaining the
Rebbe
as opposed to...
I'm not 100% sure. I know that when he quotes, it could be both are included, but when he quotes the case of Gazlin, it sounds like he's discussing, the potential of the earnings. But it's not going to be different. In other words, one way or the other, if the point is Mevato Kiso Shechaver was Pater, then that's not called that I'm chuyif for what I cause you. It's all indirect. Whether it's the actual having the money that I deprived you of, or what could have come from having the money. I mean, why does it value to having the money? Why? Because of what you can do with it. What can you do with it? You can get more money from it, right? I mean, that's part of what it is. So everything is really related. I'm just wondering, the Ritva had the kasha from the Lashna Mishnah. Ramban did not bring that issue in. Thought because Ramban maybe was only thinking in terms of the payment would be what it is for a person to have the money. L'mashal, just before we continue with the Ramban, L'mashal, if you read the Tur, when the Tur quotes this halacha, in that Siman Lamed Ches, He'idu be'echad shechai v'chaveru mane, litno l'olacha shloshim yom, v'hu omer she'en l'chayiv, litno lo el achar chamesh shanim. That's the Rambam's example, chamesh shanim. The Rambam, basically the Rambam as well, what he's quoting is the Rambam kemat. V'huzmu, so the Edom say he owes it in 30 days, and he says he owes it in 5 years. In the 5 years, it's Negev, the Gemara, otherwise you have a Shemitah issue. Good, so they're avoiding that issue right now. That's why it's Negev 5 years, 10 years. That's the Sugya, the Gemara, and I'm at base. But the basic issue here is the same in terms of the question of how much the Edom should pay. Omdim kama adam motzalitain, v'yishoer mana biyado. See, from the Lashon Tur, it's clear, how did he understand the Mishnah? How much would a person pay b'yishoer mana biyado mishloshim yom ve'elach ad tashkum chameshanim v'kach yitnu lo v'chein kol kayetze v'zeh. So the pashtus of the Tur is, that is the loss that the Edom have caused. Because the person doesn't have that extra luxury of time. They've taken that time element away, and that's called money. And they've caused them that monetary loss. So we have to figure out how much monetary loss did they cause in here in this hazama? What was the zamam? What is the zamam here? What did they take away from him in based on the Gemara Din that he owes in 30 days? That value that would exist, that a person would pay for having the money, the extra amount of time, that is their payment. The words of the Mishnah certainly fit. We're not talking about the proceeds of that investment. The reason why a person would pay for having the extra time is because of the potential, of course. And the longer that he has, the more time he has, the more potential, the more he pays for having that extra time. The Seder. But now we're not talking about the low kids here. We're talking about a very specific value. This is not a low kids issue. This is a very specific amount that it's worth for a person to have this extra time with the money. And that is the loss. But of course, the challenge is going to be what the Rabban Advar are asking. Seemingly, this is also part of what the Yerushalmi would be referring to when it says, Mvatel kiso shel chavero. In other words, it's indirect. I've kept you from having that. Every Mvatel kiso shel chavero is that, right? You gave me money to invest, I didn't invest it. So it means I deprived you of having that money yourself, which has value to it. Same thing. So we'll have to see if we can come back to this. So that's the Tur and the Rambam. And now the Ramban and the Ritva are going to say different shot in the Mishnah. Yeah.
Isn't determining that value you can only determine that value based off of the potential change?
I mean, that's part of what goes into it. I mean, why would a person want money for a longer period of time? Why? What do you have? What do you gain from having money for more time? Okay, so that's it. I'm saying so. It's all, but it's not that they would have to pay what the investment would be. They'd have to pay what a person would pay to have the potential to invest.
Would you only pay the amount that he would gain from investment?
I don't know. I mean just having it's not exactly the same. I mean, there's a correlation. The more time, the more potential for investment, the more that he can get, the more that he would want to have the money and pay more for it. But it doesn't, I don't know exactly what it's going to be like, the same thing. But again, there's a possibility that Ritva sounded like the words were saying that the Mamish would have to pay all that could have been earned in investment, and the Ritva says it's low kids, and it's not the Lashon HaMishnah. But now we have this other possibility, that the Tur is mashma, that they pay the exact amount that a person would pay to have the extra time, and that's considered to be mammon. We'll see soon, that's the marit and the ksos that we get to. This idea the Mishnah's talking about, the loss was the extra time that the person was deprived, and that extra time is money. in having the money, extra time, that has that monetary value, and that's the zanmam, and that's the hezek. But the chera, the Ramban, and the Ritva are asking from the fact that bato kiso shachavero is put. It's grum, it's indirect.
Why does Rebbe say, or why does the Ritva say that it's an email case?
Because when the Ritva begins, he's learning it to mean that they have to pay all that could have been gained with investing that money. That's how he puts it. In the farish, she yishamu lo masha omdim shahayaz ayachal arviach the elav zuzat eser shanim.
Why is that hard to...
No, so that is, it's the Lashon HaMishnah is not consistent with that, nor is it something that you can really know exactly what it's going to be. And you can't have a Zama and meet the gold kids. How do you know how much it's going to be exactly?
Some of the guy who borrowed the money told the lender what he was borrowing.
Right, but when you do it...
He's going to give someone $1,000 just because he asked for it. He's going to say...
Right, but you don't know exactly how much the exact revach would be. Exactly.
I know exactly you could ask them.
But that's low kids. Low kids means you can't wait and see and then figure out exactly what the amount is. We'll know when the time comes. We have to know exactly how much they'd be paying right now. We need the figure. That was the Sof Matnes Kuna too. That was what he's referring to. You can't approximate. It has to be precise. Yeah.
Didn't we say earlier that it needs to be a sort of a guaranteed investment? So should it be kids?
Uh-huh. I don't know if they had guaranteed investments then, you know. I mean, I don't know what to say. It's obviously karav. There are things called karav l'schar. There are things in the Gemara, the expressions in El Neshach, other places, karav l'schar, the rachok mehefsid. So it's not guaranteed, but it's likely. But even then, you know, the percentages and everything else. It's not like today we think, okay, you're getting this amount. I don't think it could ever be to that extent. Anyway, so again, these are two variations of the idea in the Mishnah, but again, from the Lashna Mishnah and what the Torah is saying, for example, this is about the value that you place on the what a person would pay to have the money longer. It's very interesting, just once we're on this, we didn't do this from yesterday, maybe it was just to be mashlim, the Rush on the previous Mishnah. I know we had many, many perushim. I don't want to overload everybody with another pshat, but just to, if I put this in a Maimar Hamusker, okay, so you want to tune out for 3 minutes and then we'll come back, it's okay. If it's too much, it's understandable. But the Rush in the previous Mishnah had a new pshat, different than what everything we've learned until now. He had a kashas on Rashi, which again, we could be miyashiv. He didn't feel that, well, how could you sell the ksuba? We said he's selling the karka. L'maisa, he says, Hilkach nirali gafarish ha-mishnah, the earlier Mishnah. And what he's saying here in the earlier Mishnah, he's using our Mishnah as a way to explain the earlier Mishnah. He says, what does the Mishnah mean? Someone, one of the guys in the shiur, one of the fellows asked me this, I forget who it was and when it was, but maybe the Mishnah, earlier is al-derech, the Mishnah that we just read. So the Rush says, al-derech babas muchala. The Mishnah earlier of Ksuva should be explained al-derech, the Mishnah that follows, which says, "Omdim kama adam motzer litain, v'yir biyadav elvusuz ben litnei mikan vat shloshim yom ben litnei mikan vat eser shnei masa chodesh." We have eser shanim. Maybe they change it. Hachanami, says the Rush, back in the Mishnah before. Hachanami shamin kama adam motzer litain. We're talking about buying the baal's schus in the ksuva that he may end up having to pay ksuva or not pay ksuva. But now, shaman kam adam motzalita b'ksuvasa shelzu shechivu litain miyad, that the edim are now making him pay right now. Shetia biyado, they should be able to not pay now and hold on to the ksuva money that he may have to pay. Ach zman shetis almein otis garish, until that later point that he'll be mechuyev to pay it, either when she becomes amana or grusha. And there's something else to consider as well down the road. Oshem lo yitzdarach uparu la'olam, kishem etamas b'chaya b'yirashena. And this goes on everything, nix melug, nix lisom barzal, tesef eksuba, whatever it was that causing him to lose. Right now, they're making him pay it now. And a person would perhaps offer money to be able to hold on to the ksuba, not pay it now, and pay it at a later point when she becomes an aman or grusha, or maybe he won't have to pay it. So a person would pay money now to be able to not have to pay the ksuba now, but rather to worry about the problem later on. So that's the Mishnah. But now you have to rework the Gemara. So that the Mishnah earlier is al derech our Mishnah. So first of all, stop right now and understand. So how did the Rosh read our Mishnah? How much would a kipshuta? How much would a person pay to have the money for the extra time, like the tour? But what I think is the Rosh took that idea and put it into the earlier Mishnah. I think you would have went that part in, right? Correct? Yeah. So then, what do you do with the next part of the Gemara? Kesed Shamin. So now he plugs in the riff. So how do you assess how much time is that down the road? Till Amana, till Gerish, and till the husband dies. How do you imagine? How many years are projected till there'll be a Gerishin, or till there'll be that the husband will die? Because that's what we're doing. So how much would you pay to not have to pay the ksuba now, but to be able to wait till maybe you won't have to pay ksuba at all? And if you will, it's going to be X amount of years down the road when it will happen that the husband will die or divorce her. So how do you know what the X is? How many years? So Ketzad Shamin. Says the Gemara, Ketzad Shamin, Bishlama B'Seifa, we understand, Hashuma Yadua. We know. Dein, Shloshim Yom, Dein, whatever, 10 years, 12 months, whatever the gears is. Abu Shuma Zu, Hech Yashumu, Zman Misa V'Gerishin. Comes from Chizden, says, Shamin Bebal. Is he young? Is he old? Is he healthy? Is he weak? Plug in the riff. And that's what the Lekach will look at to say, having to pay now or not having to pay now and having to pay X years down the road. What is X? X is going to be determined by age and health of the Baal. That's of Chizda. That's in terms of becoming an Amana, that he'll die. What about in terms of Gerishin? Also the Baal. The Chemlin and Gerishin, what are you going to look at? In terms of what's the likelihood statistically of that they'll get divorced? Well, let's do a profile, bring a psychologist in, and figure out what is the temper of this Baal. How much of a kabdin is he? How medactic is he on the food being exactly salted correctly and whatever? How much of a kabdin is he? The mamono, a vatran, shemtakti tenu, she'll do something that will get him upset. Yigashena, he'll right away want to, because he has a very quick fuse. Osavlan, or no, he's a patient guy. So then we'll say, okay, so then X is going to be based on that, you know, how many years down the road would it possibly be? Closer or further away? That's the Shita of Rav Chizda. Again, the Pshat in the Mishnah is clear. Al derech this Mishnah. From now until, but what's the then? In this Mishnah, it'd be 10 years. So how much would you pay to be able to hold on to the ksuba now and maybe not pay it? And if you do pay it, it's going to be X amount of years. The X has to be determined by either the Baal, what's his anticipated lifespan or the possibility of divorcing. The other opinion says the woman. The Okeach would look at the woman, Mihiyoledes Bitsar. He says if she's more prone in pregnancy, Chas V'Shalom, that she could not survive pregnancy, or she's by nature Kantronis, and she's going to more likely get on the nerves of the husband. Yeah, okay, so that's Rav Nassen. And Rav Papa says, Shamin V'Isha, and there's something else also to consider as Karkam Yuchad G'Ksubasa, what kind of quality land is it? All that is going to figure for X. And then the Pshat and the Mishnah there, according to the Rosh, the earlier Mishnah, new Pshat. We're going to close the parentheses in a second. New Pshat in the earlier Mishnah, right? That what? How much would a person pay to be able to hold on to some money that they ain't making him pay now, but he'd be able to hold on to it that maybe he won't have to pay it at all? And even if he will, it's going to be a certain amount of time that he'll have. But what is that certain amount of time going to be depending on? Either the Baal or the Isha and so on. But what do I see from this Rosh? New Pshat before, good. But meanwhile, what do you see in the Rosh? That he read this Mishnah like the Torah. In other words, simply, how much is it worth to have the money for more extended period of time? That's the loss of the Eidim Kol. So what's wrong with this? So the kasha on the table is, right now, from the Mishalmi. Mevato kiso shechaveiro is pater, it's grama. So because of this, this is why the Ramban and Rishba are going to turn around the Pshat and the Mishnah in a very different way, conceptually, what the Mishnah is saying. Yeah, Tomer and then out, yeah. Okay.
Is that any amount of compensation that a guy who owes money has to pay the guy who loans him money if he exceeds the length of the kind of the obligation? The loan.
You're saying if a person doesn't pay on time?
Yeah.
I mean, technically, can he sue him? No, is there a claim that he has by money that would be called ribis, right? Maybe it's not ribis ksutza because he didn't set up in advance, but it was only ribis drabanan. You can't take more money than what you lent because he didn't pay you on time. That's obviously not permitted. There's a question by schiros, but that's a separate discussion. If it's not money, you're not a loan. But the whole issue is in a certain sense plays with ribis, right? But we're not talking about, look, in theory you can do ribis, in a theory you can do ribis with a non-Jew. So the point is that these assessments are not just theoretical. I mean, they could be in the real world in situations where it would be permitted. But what we're saying so far, and the pshat that the Torah is learning, and the rush that we see as well, is that there is a certain monetary stake that you can place on the time that is given, extra time that's given, and that's viewed as the hezek, or that's viewed as the zamam of the eden, and that's what they caused him in terms of a loss. Yeah?
According to the Rush, what would be the chiddush of the second Mishnah? They're both the same shot.
You mean it's more complicated than the previous Mishnah, Yen Chanami? Why is the Mishnah sequence it the way it does? Okay? It's going to be more interesting in terms of the relationship for the Ramban's pshat that we're coming into in just a second. It's also going to be a little bit sticky in terms of squaring the two Gemaras. I hear. Maybe we mention this now, right? Now with the tours, I'll show you that Lamashal, the Marit, if you have the Ksos, we just mentioned it already, the Marit clearly understood the Mishnah this way. And the Ksos has many kashas, and the Ksos was machavein in his own way to the pshat that we're about to see in the Ramban. So there's a halacha that the Rambam quotes that the Shulchan Aruch is basically quoting. That's the Sif over here, Simenayin and Gimel, Sif Beis, the following halacha in the Rambam. It's found in Malva Velova Perak Yud Gimel, halacha Vav. So I'll read it from the Rambam. But it's really what you have in this Sif here, because you don't have the continuation also of it. Tarn ha-malve v'omar hayom sof hazman shekavati. The malve says, today is due date. You owe me now. V'halo v'omar ad asara yom kavata. I have 10 more days. It's not due for another 10 days. So the lova doesn't want to pay now because he claims he doesn't have to pay. So now the rachi is, halo v'nishbe heses. First heses is drabanan. So if he's kofer that he owes the money, just like he said, don't owe anything, he has to swear heses. So he swears, I don't owe you now. Are you in 10 days? He has to swear. Then the Rambam had something interesting. Mahayasham Eid Echad. Suppose there's an Eid Echad. Now what is the strength of an Eid Echad in the Din Torah of Mammonis? An Eid Echad can be Mechayiv Mammon in Mishnah Eden, but he can Mechayiv a Shvua. So if somebody denies that he owes money and the Eid says, like the Toveya, that he owes the money, so then he's Mechayiv to swear Shvua Doraisa to contradict the Eid. Now here the issue is not whether he owes or not. The issue is whether he owes now or in 10 days from now. Rabosai, everyone hear the case? The Malva and the Lova are disputing whether he owes, the Lova owes today or in 10 days. Says the Rambam, there's an Eid Echad that says, Hayom Sov Zmano. The Eid says, today is when it owes, when he owes. Harei ze nishba shvuas haTorah kishar haTainus. So, he has to swear Doraisa, like every situation of a Taina with an Eid Echad that says, like one side, he has to contradict the Eid. The Magid Mishnah just says, I didn't find this anywhere in the Gemara, Mokor, Avodas Rav, should Taina Zu Keshara Tainos? It's no different than ordinary Tainos. Do you owe, do you not owe? Do you owe today, do you owe in 10 days? Says the Marit, and the Ksos quotes this, you have it, right? You have the Ksos from Simen Ayin Gimel? This is Divya Ramba. The Kasav Harava Magi we just mentioned, Shalom Matsu Mivor El Shudasarab, Vinira Isa Bishut Marit, Shekasav Zelishono. So the Marit Tain is as follows. It's very clear the Magi Mishnah didn't think it was Shalom Matsu Mivor. It's very clear, Liadava Barur. What's the mucker for the Ramam Salacha? That an Eid Echad who weighs in and says that the due date is today, like the Malva says, and not like the Lova who says it's not due for another 10 days, it's clear from this Mishnah. And so on, our Mishnah. So what do you see? The Edom have to pay what a person would pay for having the time, extra time with the money. Says the Marit, Alma, Dabar Sheba Mamun Chashiv, the Mechaibu Edim Zomin Bahachi. The Edim have to pay that money, that monetary figure that would be correspond to the amount of money a person would pay to have the time, the extra time. No? So that's why an Eid Echad who's testifying that he has to pay now and not in 10 days is considered to be being made on Mamun. So this is clearly how the Marit understood the Mishnah, which is again it's consistent with what we're seeing and thinking in the tour and in the Rush, and what the Ika, the Ramban quoting here, the Ika, the Kashere would have understood, but that bothered because it shouldn't be, because it's a grammar. It's Mbato Kisur Shachavera. And that's in fact one of the Kashas Iksos has on the Marit. Among other things, if you go down a little bit, the Iksos, after quoting the Marit, so he says, V'nire mitoch dvarav, look at the next paragraph if you have it, right? Dahad chayev shvua al kviyas asman, that which you chayev shvua, convict the Eid Echad for the issue of time, when it's due, shim daham tonas asman havi dvarad mamona. That's considered to be a shaykhus to mammon. Hamtanas Zman has itself is mammon. So he comes with a number of kashas. He says, you need by a shvua, you need davash a gufo mammon. This is not gufo, it's mammon, not gufo mammon. It's not a chefsa, shtaros. Person is kofar shtaros. It's not gufo mammon. There's no shvuas mod mixas, no shvuas eidachad. So kfias as man, that he could get money if he would keep it longer, or he'd pay money to keep it longer. That's not gufo mam, it's one kasha. Va'od, in the third wide line in your ksos, taho, da hamivato kisu shachavero. What is this? It's mivato kisu shachavero. No, he's causing him not to have that benefit. Then he gets to Edom Zom and he's going to say different shat, which is going to be very much consistent with what we're going to have to see in the Ramban. So Lemaisa, we have a number of shitas that learned the Mishnah a certain way. The Marit now can go with the same mashmos as the Torah and the Rambam, I think, the Rush. But the Kasha has to be addressed. Why is it different than Mevato Kisa Shochavero? So let's shift gears and see what the Ramban does in the Ritva to reinterpret the Mishnah. Yeah. Please, Moshe. The Marit says, why is it that the Eid Echad is Mechayev Shvua? Because he's considered coming from Mammon. Why is it coming from Mammon? Because the question of when the money is due itself is Shav Mammon. Okay, the Ksos asks Kashas, it's not Gufo Mammon and so on. The Ksos has another Kasha. Let's say the dispute was about one day. Would you pay a pruta to have the money an extra day? No, it should have to do with whether that amount of time, the extended time, has to be something that you would pay a value for. And the Ram doesn't seem to differentiate between, you know, he deals with the example of 10 days, but it sounds like whatever it is going to be. But if you hold, as Achilles is going to soon explain, which is what the Ramban says in Asugya, then it doesn't matter whether you would pay. You'll see why that nafkamina is going to be a very interesting nafkamina between the two approaches here. But the way that the Marit would say it, you'd have to be able to know that time differential is such that it would itself translate into money. You would pay a Shabbat Pruta or more for having it that extra time. And therefore, what the Eden Zelman causes is a loss of that value that you would have paid to have the time, to have the money, extra time. Now, the Ramban has to answer this kasha that was asked, Ika de Kashale, that Ika de Kashale, in asking the kasha, how did they preface the kasha? Look at how they spoke. Back in the Ramban, we're both saying, we're coming right back to the Ramban. Ika de Kashale, keva da hai gavra mechayev lechavrei hano alfa zuzi de misadi. Notice, the whole premise of the kasha is, this person owes $1,000 right now. So where's the zamam? Where's the hezek? Where's the hefsid that they're causing or intending to cause that he doesn't have to pay now, that he has to pay now and not in 10 years? But he has to pay. So the hefsid is only that difference. So that, they ask, why should they have to pay it? It's no different than a gazlan that doesn't have to pay for the fact that the person was deprived having the money all that time. It's no different than Vata Kisa Shechavera, when you entrusted something to invest and you didn't do it. Says the Ramban in response, Rabosai, look, in the language of the Ramban, V'lav kushihi. So he takes the kasha by the head and he turns it around. He says, no, your whole premise is faulty. V'lav kushihi. Dahacha. Kevan dahashta lo mechayiv leikum. Right now, he doesn't have to pay anything. If he doesn't pay to 10 years, he doesn't have to pay right now. And they're telling us that he has to pay sooner. And on day 30, he has to pay. Kiman demafsidim minei alfa zuzi dami. So by saying you have to pay now, or in 30 days, that is the equivalent of the edim now causing him how much loss? The entire elef zuz. Where were they coming from when they prefaced the question? They said, "Hi, Gavra Mechayv L'Chavei Hanu El Zuzi." What is it that you? What's the loss of the, that Edom are causing him? The extra time with the money. So that should be like Garmi. That's from Batal Kisur Shachaver. Says Rambam, it's not a kasha, because if he doesn't owe now, and the Edom are making him pay now or 30 days from now, but at that point they're making him chayv something he doesn't have to pay. That means the hefsid is really on the entire amount. But now. Does he have to pay Elif Zuz? The Edom don't pay Elif. So what's Pshat? Continue the Ramban. He doesn't have any obligation now to pay. But what are you going to say? The Mahani Lei, the Paria Hushibuda the Ikole. You can't make them pay all Elif Zuz. Why? Because at the same time, they're giving him back something. They're also getting him off the hook from that shiva. So it's not fair to say that Edom have to pay all that. They were mafsid him all 1,000. But they're also helping him at the same time. How are they helping him? That they're removing the shiva of the Elif Zuz for 10 years from now. Right? So now we have to figure out what are we going to deduct from the 1,000? Let the Ramban give him a chance. Yeah, you saw it yourself, but let's see what. Ma'ika, the Mahanilei, the Paralei Shibuda, the Ikalei. So now, Omdim, Kama Adam Rotzelitain, what would a person pay the Yiyu Elef Zuz Biyado, Bain Litne Mikanvat Shloshim Yom, or Litne Mikanvat Eseshonim? What does the Ramban mean to say? And the Ritva perhaps, Mustama says it a different way, but I think it's the same point. What you're doing is you're deducting. If a person would prepay now, not to have to pay in 10 years, he wants to pay now. So how much less, how much would he pay right now? He wouldn't pay the full amount because he has technically much more time. But he would pay a certain amount less and then be patur now from the chov. That is what they're giving him back. So that gets deducted from the 1,000. That's how you arrive at the figure of the mission. In the language of the Ritva, the words are a little bit harder in the Ritva, but clearly he's saying the same thing. Ela Pirusho, I'm picking up from where the Ritva after his kashis. She yeshumu maya nosin halova lamal ve'ata mechov zeh mifre'enu ata. What would the Lova pay the Malva from this Chov now? How much of the Chov would he pay? How much of the Elif Zuz would he pay right now at 30 days if he's not going to be able to keep it till 10 years? Umaya menecho ha-Malva mizeh. How much would the Malva would take away from the Chov that if you prepay, you pay at less money? Umenakin shumazu. What are you doing? You're taking that amount out. Vashar Yishalmu. Why? Because the shear, something with the words is not quite fitting, but Hashir Sha'om no saying lo yimafidim also. Vizembar. This should sound strikingly familiar to you, Rabosai. Strikingly familiar. What is the hefsid? The entire elipsis. But what he would be paying now, not to have to pay later, so that gets deducted. Now, obviously, the cheshbin, it's not going to be a different figure than the other pshat, really, because think about it. How much would the person take off from the full amount to pay now? What would go through the person's mind? For both sides, think about it. What would a person pay? How much less would the person pay now not to have to pay later? The value in his mind of Hamtanas Amos. So for both sides, I understand. The figure that you're going to have here is identical to what you're going to have according to the other pshat that we said until now, that the Edom are paying the loss that they're causing, which is, the loss is defined as that he doesn't have the extra time with the money, and that has value. But instead of arriving at that figure by saying that that is the loss that the Edom caused, that he doesn't have the money for that extra time, that's not how you arrive at that figure. You arrive at that figure in a different way. You say, basically, the loss begins conceptually by saying, how much are they making him pay? He doesn't owe anything right now, and making him pay sooner the whole amount. But at the same time, they're also helping him out that he doesn't have to pay later. So that not having to pay later is what he would pay now not to pay later. So what he would pay now not to pay later is what? Is what? Is how much less than the full amount? Notable sale, metry math. Well, how much less would it be? The amount in his mind of having the money for the extra time, correct? But meanwhile, what are we saying? We're deducting that from the full amount, and they pay the difference. So, practically speaking, it's the same, but conceptually, it's a totally different picture. Why did I say strikingly familiar? Why is it strikingly familiar to you? Why would I say louder? Tweak, okay. Tweak, Kalom Ishtami, I call Kavachomer 20. Someone, yeah? Rashi, but me more specific, not Rashi. Who in the previous Sugya seems to learn this way? Lefi Rashi, yeah? The Ritva, Lefi Rashi. Ramnos! Very interesting. But then something's not quite jiving, right? Because we have Rav Nassim, we have Rav Chisda. And the Ritva was one who was masbir within Rashi. We used the Ritva for that. That what did Rav Nassim say, Rabot say? That we view the loss as the entire ksuva, the ksuva misharinan, minus what the Baal would pay to buy her Tova Sana, that gets deducted. So the loss is the whole ksuva. That's why, according to the calculation, is according to Rav Nassim, the full ksuva minus what the Baal would pay to buy her ksuva, her share. But the other shita was Rav Chisda, Rabosei. What did Rav Chisda hold? No, the loss is defined as what is that the Baal would sell his share for. But we don't say the loss is the full amount. Only Rav Nassim said that. And according to Tosis, if you remember, both Rav Nassim and Rav Chisda are not thinking in terms of the whole ksuva. They're all thinking about what is this monetary stake of the Baal that he lost out with this Edus. It's just a question of two different ways to assess his chosafik. Now, Rabosai, how can you understand our Gemara, l'chore t'kav v'chomer, if anything? In our Gemara, he's for sure going to pay down the road. And yet, what does the Ramban say, k'dava pashut in our Gemara? That what is the loss that the Edom are causing? The entire El of Zuz, but you deduct what he would be, because of what the fact that he's getting off the hook now, so you deduct what that's worth to get off the shibud off of you right now, that he would pay less now, but he get removed, he wouldn't have to pay later, that gets taken out. But the whole amount is the loss and you deduct. But that seemingly is only within Rav Nassim. But if you say it over here, it certainly should be over there, because over there, for all we know, he wouldn't have to pay at all later. By us, he's going to pay later. And that's why the Ika, the Kashere said, well, he's Mechoyev Elav Zuz. So the loss is not Elav Zuz. The loss is only that they can't keep it longer. So they ask a kasha, nevato kiso shokaveo. Says Rabban Rav Kushi, even though he owes later, even though he owes anyway, but right now, they're making him pay Elv Zuz. Nu kal v'chomer by the ksuva. He may not have to pay later at all. And yet, it was only Rav Nassin within Shitas Rashi that said it earlier. I'm not sure to say what to make of this. I think it's a very strong kasha. L'chor, this premise that the Ramban is establishing in reading our Mishnah, it's exactly what we saw within Shitas Rashi, as the Ritva was explaining, within Rav Nassin of before. But halacha k'Rav Chisda, I think the Ritva said. The Rav Chisda didn't see it that way. The Baal. We don't look at it, the B'chol K'suv Misharinan. And here the Ramban and the Ritva, I would seem, put them together, are learning that the Hefzid is viewed as the entire El of Zuz, but we deduct what the Baal would have paid now, not to have to pay later. And again, the amount is going to be the same as what the other Pshat was going to be, because that's how much it would take off from the full amount, but it's a different Cheshbon. It's because it's viewed as the entire amount, and then you deduct. Again, how does this square with, let's say, the other Shita before of Chizda, according to Tosus? Everybody didn't look at it in terms of the Hoksum.
Can I repeat the question?
The question? Somebody repeat the question. Who wants to volunteer to repeat the question? Go for it, yeah.
And just reading the Ritva, if we want to read the Ramban also, seems to only fit, like, Rav Natan according to Rashi's. Because the way Rashi read Rav Natan was that you take the whole thing, its whole loss, and subtract what he would have paid for it. Right? But that's seeming how the Ritva is reading right now also. That it's the whole thing, but he would eventually have to pay that whatever amount later on. So that's a little loss. It's not really a loss, we have to pay that anyway. So only Rashi learned that over there, though. So this is how the Ritva and the Ramban are learning here. Shukavachomer, they should learn that there. Because this is a definite, he'll have to pay this, but that was a suffix he'll have to pay it. And maybe she'll die and he'll inherit her. So why did they learn that there also?
The concept that the Ramban is establishing, that when the Edom are making him pay earlier than he would otherwise have had to pay, it's viewed not that they're only causing a loss in terms of that he wasn't having the money longer, but the loss is viewed as the entire amount they didn't have to pay yet, so it's viewed as if the maksid him the entire amount, because he wouldn't have had to pay yet. So right now, the loss is viewed as the entire amount. Elamai, since at the same time that they're doing that, they're also giving him back something, so to speak. In other words, the benefit is that he doesn't have to pay later, and that also is a value, because he would pay a certain percentage of the chov now, if he prepaid it, not to pay later. So that gets deducted from the full amount. And that's why the Mishnah is left with the amount of what a person would pay to have the extra time. Not because that's directly viewed as the loss that they caused. That was the problem that he started with. That's kumavato kiso shel chaveiro. Rather, it's because that's what it comes down to in terms of once you deduct the amount that he would pay now to get the whole to get him help putter from the chov, that gets deducted from the full amount. But the problem that we have is that concept that Ramban is taking here and plugging into our Mishnah, that would fit beautifully only with Rav Nassin in the previous Gemara of Kesed Shaman, and only Gafi Rashi according to Rav Nassin. With all the other Shitas, Rav Chisda within Rashi, or both Rav Chisda and Rav Nassim Lefi Tosfos, didn't view the loss of the Ksuva that they're causing him to pay now as the entire amount, but just what they caused him right now in terms of his Chosafik, that he lost his Chosafik. But not that we say the whole Ksuva, but then we just deduct what he would have paid her. I have to know what to do with this. I don't have an answer. Just end with this. I mean, we then also have to think if we could come up with an answer mevato kiso shel chaveiro according to the other shitas. But I'll give you the real nafka mina that with the Ksos's issue would be. The Ksos's machabe to this Ramban. He looked further in the Ksos. He says on his own that the Pshat in our Mishnah is different. How he deals with the Rambam is a separate discussion. That's separate. That's not our inyan now. But in terms of how he's docha the raya of the Marit from our Mishnah, he says the Pshat in the Mishnah is not what the Marit said. The Marit learned like the Torah learned. The Mishnah is to be interpreted the way we just said over from the Ramban and the Ritva. But now the nafka mina would be, if let's say the difference between what the Malva and the Lova say when the loan is due would not have translated into a Shava Pruta that the Lova would pay extra to keep it for that minimal amount of time. An extra few hours, an extra half a day. A person wouldn't pay a Shava Pruta to have the bare minimum amount of time extra. So would there be a chiyuv shvuas eirachad if there would be a dispute over a couple of hours? What would you say? If the reason why the shvuas eirachad, because that extra time is money, because he would pay money for that. If what he would pay is not going to amount to money, then he can't call this money. But if you say that it's money because it's a Shabbat, because the loss is about the full amount, so it could be they're discussing Shabbat Pruta. The larger chov itself is a Pruta. So the Eid Echad is coming in on a matter of money, because the Hefsid is due, could be. Okay. Is there a... Yep.